I'm Amos, host of Undaunted, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to episode 102 of Better Podcasting. Today, we conclude our two-part arc on effectively asking and answering questions.
In this week's Better Podcasting Download, we're going to talk about a new feature with Ringer, and we have some Discord first thoughts. After the download, we'll also talk about the question, should I pay for podcast advice?
And finally, in this week's Better Pod Back, we run down your week in podcasting.
Lauren, go.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to episode number 102 of Better Podcasting. I am the star of Better Podcasting, Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is runner-up Stargate Pioneer.
I don't care. I'm just jamming to the music, man. And you know what? I love this music so much. My kids are going to walk down the aisle to it in their wedding.
I will walk down it if I get married. That sounds good. I'm your kid, right?
You're a kid.
We are here to talk about podcasting. If you've never checked out the show before, we like to put a little bit of a hobbyist spin on the world of podcast advice. We're going to have a ton of fun, talk about a plethora of topics. And one of the things that we regularly ask here on Better Podcasting is, how have you screwed up? We want to know, how have you saved your podcast? This is a fun little segment we like to do occasionally. And we just like you to tell us, how have you saved your podcast? There's a lot of creative things us podcasters do to try to save things. In the past, we've talked a little bit about using backup recordings. We've talked about how people have saved their recording because they pulled out the SD card from their Zoom H6 before it was done recording. We've even talked a little bit about how we have offset our duties to somebody because we had a personal situation come up. So tell with us and share with us, how exactly have you saved your podcast? You can get in touch with us through a variety of different ways, including the following.
You can contact us on our Twitter at BetterPod. You can contact us at our email address, which is podcasts@betterpodcasting.com. And you can contact Steven on our Facebook page, Better Podcasting. All one word.
That's facebook.com/betterpodcasting. See, Aspie doesn't even know how to use it because he's not on the Facebook.
I don't even know. How do you log into the Facebook? I wouldn't even know.
We also can be found around a variety of different communities, including the podcast forum. If you're wanting to talk about podcastery with a bunch of other people, you can go over to thepodcastforum.com. That's all one word, thepodcastforum.com, and talk about things there, including an interesting related post that was written by the one and only Scott Smith that is titled Apple Magic Mouse versus Logitech 330 Silent Mouse. Now, obviously, we're talking about a silent mouse, and we're talking about this being on the podcast forum. And you, as we all know with podcasting, you are craving a little bit of silence in your room. So check that out. That's a fun topic over on thepodcastforum.com. But speaking of talking in communities, let's get to our main topic. Oh, there are all sorts of ways that we interact. And if you missed last episode, please head over to betterpodcasting.com/101. That's 101. And we talked about how you can effectively craft your question, and if you're answering, your podcast answer, to help make the community a little bit better and a little bit better understood. Well, today we thought what we would do is take a few minutes of our episode to run down some real world examples on some questions from the podcast community. We've pulled these from a bunch of different places, Facebook, Reddit, not the podcast forum, because everything is always perfect on the podcast forum. But we have pulled this from a bunch of different places. And so we are just going to talk about some of the questions and the answers and how they could have been a little better tailored to get to the answer or get the answer sooner and better. Better than I just spoke.
a better, sooner answer. That's yes, what we're talking
there
about.
You go.
Yeah. Okay, Stephen, the first question that you have brought up was a question about a microphone. And here's what the question was: best unidirectional shotgun mic for about $100 or less. Biggest problem with current mic is sensitivity and background noise. AT2020 picks up noise with the doors shut two rooms away. Now, Stephen, let's talk a little bit about what we would have done better with that podcast question. And we'll call it the question poster. So we're talking about the poster here. So the first question that I would ask is, why do you want a shotgun microphone? So you could state that in how you are phrasing the question. What is your current recording environment? That is very important when talking about a microphone. What did you try before? Have you tried different things? Maybe you have tried a solution that somebody else is going to recommend, and that just saves somebody from going round robin there. And then what sort of interface do you have? Are you plugging it directly into a computer? Are you using a mixer? Are you using a portable recorder? That sort of thing. So those questions would have been nice to have, but overall, I did like the question, how it was phrased. I just would have added a little bit more meat to it.
Yeah. And on the other column, I will say that I love that the budget is in there. We talked about that last time. The budget, $100 or less. That's fantastic. And also an Envision. Now, we still need to understand why that Envision is there, but the Envision is a shotgun mic. Now, in this same thread, we had a whole bunch of answers. We had people saying the Shure SM58. We have people who ended up saying the Audio-Technica AT875R. We had people who ended up saying the RE320. And we had people also talking about things like the 7B. Now, here's the thing with that is we got people answering kind of above the price range that was mentioned. We were mentioned a $100 price range. So that's obviously not really fitting in there as far as what the person was asking. So we don't really want to give all of these suggestions when it's above the price range of the podcaster.
Another tips for the answers that I would say is, let's investigate his reason behind a shotgun microphone before you answer. Mm-hmm. Those things that we talked about before that could have been useful in the question, why does he want a shotgun microphone? What is his recording environment? What has he tried before? And what sort of gear does he currently have available? All those are good questions to ask before you just rifle off a solution. Now, you can kind of infer what's going on here. And if you have an opinion, I would answer it backing it up with facts. And I'm looking through all of these answers and nobody answered with facts about the microphones, their usage. Nobody cited examples of the microphones being used. So those are all things that I would have input in there. It's not just a two-liner answer. I think we need to get better with that as a community. Mm-hmm. We need to actually give a little bit meat behind just saying, oh, SM58, oh, RE320 or RE20, or you need this shotgun microphone or what. Somebody actually answered with a pencil microphone. Okay, that's not lingo that is usually there in podcaster terms. So I just would like to see a little bit more definition and a little bit more meat in this conversation that goes forward. Now, this is from Facebook, so you're going to see a lot of rapid posts, and people are going to forget about it in a day. But if you would ask this same question over on a more long-standing forum, like the podcast forum or some other place, like a post with comments on it, you would want to, like on a blog, that's what I'm talking about, you would want to have that meat to that question, absolutely. Otherwise, this is just a waste, and it's not going to be necessary for the, you couldn't go back and search it for these answers. It wouldn't make any sense to the to the anybody who's searching for it. So there you go. There's just some tips on how to make that whole interaction a little bit better. Now, we did have even more to talk about here. Our next one is actually from Reddit. Hey guys, a friend and I are getting ready to launch a podcast by the new year, and we're looking for recommendations on microphones to go with. What do you use? What do you like about it? And what, if anything, do you dislike about it? We'd like to keep to $200, and he gives the country here CAD, which is Canadian dollars, or less each. Thanks so much. First of all, I love the fact that he gives the dollar amount. I love the fact that he gives the location. That is actually important when you're discussing microphones, because oftentimes it's like, oh, just go get a Knox microphone or just go get an AT2005 microphone. That is not available in other countries. And you might have to say send some to you. Or if you don't know the country, then you're saying, oh, one of these four microphones will work, the Knox, the 2005, the 2100, or the Samsung QTU. It just gets to be a long answer that way, but sometimes you have to answer that way. I was going to say ask, answer that way. So I did like the fact that we have a budget and we have a location.
And I will say that the location is huge for this sort of question, because we've talked before about how there's that Knox podcasting microphone that is basically the same as the ATR 2100, but quite a bit cheaper. It's price is questionable at the moment. But here's the thing, is in Canada, I can't buy that from an authorized retailer. So the location, if I was posting, I would expect, if I say I'm in Canada, I don't want people to suggest the Knox without mentioning that I would have to import it, because as a Canadian, I can't buy that. So the other couple questions that come to mind on here is how exactly are they looking to record? Because they say they want to keep it to $200 Canadian or less each. So the thing that is interesting with that is I'm going to assume, and I would have to ask, but I would assume that we're looking at $200 and less per person to invest. Well, if we are looking at being in different locations, now we got to split up that budget between microphone and audio interface so that we can connect, maybe, potentially. Obviously, with something like the Knox or the ATR 2100, you can do that by USB. But depending on the suggestions that I'm going to make, I might need to put in an audio interface. The other thing as well is maybe I don't need to put in an audio interface because maybe they have that equipment already. If we're in a bunch of people in one room together, USB is now out because we now need a way that we can record all of those different microphones separately. So there's more questions in there that I would need to ask. And I will say that on this post that I saw, there was a lot of people who just went in there and blindly gave suggestions without asking those questions. And that's going to be a bit of a trouble, because now this person might go out and buy five Knox. I'm saying five just for no good reason. Five Knox microphones, and then get back and be like, okay, I plugged them all into my PC by USB, all five at the same time.
You have that many free USB ports? I'm impressed.
I bought a hub too.
I see. Well, that's a little extra money there. I don't know how much those go in Canada for, but how it's being recorded, how it's being interacted between the two hosts. You don't know if the hosts are in the same room. You don't know if they're in the next county. Are they recording over Skype? Are they recording to a portable digital recorder? It really depends on what your ultimate use is going to be and what your perceived uses are. Like, if these guys want to go mobile at some point in time, like Steven and I do, we travel for business and we try to podcast when we're out in the hotel room, that USB capability with the four microphones that we've mentioned before with the USB XLR, that's important to have. And when you have that, then you are very versatile. And that's one of the reasons why we say like the ATR 2100 is a great microphone to start out with, because it's so versatile. You can use it in so many situations. Is it the best microphone for all situations? No, it is not. It would not be the best microphone to take and interview somebody with, because that handling noise is going to be pretty rough with that ATR 2100. But if you only have one microphone to buy and your majority of use is going to be in your home office, in your home studio, or in a hotel room, the ATR 2100 is probably the best one to do. I'm not trying to get into the technical solutions here. I'm just trying to point out that that's information that would be applicable to have with this question. and with the poster and with the people that are answering that, they should be asking those questions in order to give this individual the best advice possible.
The next one that we've got was actually an interesting question, and it was, does anyone here use Skype call recorder? I bought and used it last week with my co-host in studio, two mics XLR plugged into an audio interface, and recorded the call, but it wasn't in stereo, just mono. Any ideas how to record in stereo? So this is interesting because the posts that we got were basically replies asking about why would you want to record in stereo and that sort of banter back and forth. Now, the question that comes to my mind right away here as far as how we can properly answer this, because I think the question is good. I got to say, this is a solid question. It says the reason, the way that they're hooking up the microphone into the audio interface. But what I don't know is, how are you wanting to use the stereo? Is your goal to have the participant on one channel, so the left, and your in-studio people on the other? Or are you only somehow wanting to record the people in studio split up left and right? Because a lot of times an audio interface that is two-channel only in Windows and I think Mac as well acts as a left and a right. A lot of time these two-channel interfaces will automatically do that in many programs. So if this person has been using this audio interface like that, and now they're looking at the recording, they're like, wait, but it's not doing that anymore. It's not doing the left and right like it does in Audacity. I need to know that, because Skype Call Recorder might not have that capability. It might have the capability to put the person that is Skyping in on one channel and then your two hosts on the other. But if you're wanting to split that up, you might be SOL on that. So we don't know this. We don't know how exactly are you visioning having the stereo function used. So that's something that really I would need to know in order to properly answer the question. Might just be the fact that this Skype call recorder has no stereo capability at all, but I still really kind of need to understand to properly answer.
The reasoning behind stereo is very important. Now, when I use Iver, I record in stereo because I'm getting my track on one, like, left, I believe, and I'm getting the incoming Skype call on the other stereo track on the right. So I'm able to get at least two tracks of voice. And even though there might be five people on the other track, that it's separated from me at least, and I can take myself out because I sound stupid sometimes and I like to edit myself out that way. And also in the other track, they wouldn't hear the music that I'm playing, the bumps that I'm playing, if I do anything like that. A lot of people don't do live productions that we do. They just do the verbal recording and they mix it all later in post. But that is important to not have the music play over these people. Now, Skype does its own gating. And so you do get voice modulation on both ends when people are talking. So take that into consideration when you're doing this. But that is all information that I would want to have before I answer this question. The question is pretty good, but it could be a little bit better. And the main thing that I want to point out here is I'm looking at all these answers, and none of them are really asking, why do you want to go in stereo? They're just having a debate between mono and stereo. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, there could be a valid reason why the original poster is asking to do in stereo.
The next one that we have was, how does SoundCloud compare to hosting to other hosting platforms? Cost, flexibility, analytics, etc. If we decide to switch, how difficult would it be to transfer everything from one to the other? Thank you in advance for the help. So this is interesting because it does give us a little bit of information on what specifically they're wanting to compare. Now, ultimately, I will say that, yes, you can imagine this thread was filled with people saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Now, that is the number one thing that I am going to suggest is, when you are giving advice in relation to something like SoundCloud, make sure that you support your answer. Don't just say, don't do it. Say, this is the reason why I don't think you should do it. Another example with the answer that we have was someone who says, I think their analytics lie. Okay, that's really intriguing. And as the quester, I asked specifically about analytics. I would like to know what is your hunch with that? And then another person said, SoundCloud is not a platform we accept analytics from. And that's sort of like, okay, that's interesting, but maybe expand on that. But why is that relevant? So it really is all about making sure to understand that question. And if I was going to answer to this, and I didn't answer because I'm just a terrible Facebook user, I would probably have educated on SoundCloud's future. I would have educated a little bit about some of the discrepancies that I've seen with analytics compared to other platforms, as well as the general shift away that a lot of people have been and some of the reasons why, because I think that that's all relevant information that this person probably wanted to know. And really that would just be trying to understand where the person is coming from and what advice is going to best tailor to them.
Another thing I'll say from the answerer standpoint is the fact that you should qualify who you are. So there's a lot of people that own podcasting companies now or have podcasting news sources or podcasting consulting service or something like that. And to answer a question like this, I would definitely want to disclose who I am and what affiliation I have, because there will be inherent bias or a point of view from where you come from. So a question like this, I think, even though you're on Facebook in this particular case, and you could click on the name and hopefully the individual's name would have a link back to whatever business they're running. Not everybody, but a lot of people do that. So, okay, that's there. And that's further investigation. But if you're going to throw a thread like this, it probably had somewhere between 50 and 100 answers back from it. I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'm not on Facebook. Could have been 20, could have been 200 for all I know. Because of that, you'd want to qualify who you were and what you do in this pod space. And I don't think anybody really did here, Stephen. No. You'll have to tell me. I did not see this thread.
No, I didn't see that. And it's a great point. If you're at all involved or have a stake in anything, you should probably make sure to disclose that if that is something that you work for the company. The last one that we have here before we move on to our download was one that said, "Ladies and gents, my ATR 2100. Bracket $64 end bracket has had its demise. $100 to $150 recommendations for an upgrade and replacement." Okay, so this is cool because it's telling what microphone the poster used and sort of what their budget is. Now that's interesting to me because it's showing everybody that, okay, I have some experience with something, but I'm looking to upgrade from that. So that kind of can get our frame of mind on that. Now, before I answer, when I'm looking at $150 versus $64, I might not feel that there is something worthwhile in that range, $100 to $150, and I might still want to go and suggest something more along the lines of the 2100 if I don't think it's worth us a little bit extra money. So what I would, in this case here, would ask a little bit more. Why are you looking to upgrade? What's your reason behind that? And I think that that would be a big takeaway with this specific question, is because there is obviously a reason they are looking to upgrade. And I need to understand that. I need to understand, were they happy with the quality? Was there a problem they ran into? Were they just not wanting to do it again because it only lasted them 6 months? Like, we don't really know. And that's ultimately what I need to know, is why are you looking to upgrade a little bit?
Yeah, another thing I would ask, and this is a legitimate question to ask as an answerer, is that budget stretchable at all? Because if they're truly looking to upgrade, like, I had the ATR 2100 and I had these issues with it, maybe plosives, maybe it just didn't fit their voice well, maybe the rear rejection wasn't good enough, I might want to go into the broadcast dynamic microphone. And the lowest broadcast large diameter microphone that I would want to suggest would be the Rode Procaster, which you could probably get a used one on eBay for just over $150. Now, it's a used microphone, so there's a bunch of issues with that. But if that's like all the cap that you have, it'd be something that I would recommend as an option. But I'd want to know, is that budget stretchable at all? Because that would be something that I would want to recommend. Now, if they came back and said, nope, all I got is $150 and I need a microphone like tomorrow, I needed to order it on Amazon and I'm going to expedite the delivery, then that closes a lot of those options as well. But it's nice to know. And that is a legitimate question to ask, because the individual did state a budget to begin with. So there are some legitimate questions to ask as you're going through your answers here. There is a lot of things that you would need to know, like what kind of equipment that you have right now. Because if it's, let's just say the individual says, I have $350. Give me the best microphone that I could buy with that. Odds are there's going to be a lot of people say, sure, SM7B. But I would have to know what sort of preamp that that individual had in their microphone, or in their mixer, in their audio interface in order to drive that microphone. So that's just another example of, I need to know how you're hooking it up. Otherwise, I can't give you good advice. But if they don't give it to you, then ask the question. And again, you don't have to be the first one to answer this.
Hashtag first.
You just have to make sure that your advice is good and solid over time. And just to teach others how to answer these questions rather than hashtag first.
And finally, on the note of this sort of thing here, there was also, of course, a bunch of people with their suggestions that they had within that price range. I will say that it's a prime example on supporting your answer. You should always say, what is your reason behind it? I would actually say that based off of my experience, I don't think there's going to be something within that $100 to $150 that I could recommend. I suggest you keep your money and spend it on the ATR 2100 and take that budget and spend it elsewhere. Maybe that would be my reason why. Or I would say, I really like this microphone. I think it's had a really good tone. I compared it here and here, and I thought that it sounded better. So just support your answer. But those are some examples to continue on and conclude our effective question asking and answering. Because again, like we said last week, as a podcast community, we're a great loving community and we want to help each other, but we just need to get a little bit better at asking and answering questions. And again, I will say, if you are answering, I encourage you to understand the question and understand the reasons behind it, because it's going to help better craft your question. So if you have any suggestions for this or any other advice giving, please do get in touch with us through any of the ways that SP mentioned. Just head on over to betterpodcasting.com and you can find that there as well. Let's download now.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
Ring, 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 ring.
Hello, hello.
Oh, sorry, it's not that kind of ringer. Oh, sorry, sorry.
We're not talking about, oh, wow. You know what? I don't even have a telephone hooked up in my house. All I have is my mobile phone, which is on silent most of the time because I'm a podcaster.
Yes, today we are talking about an update with Ringer. That's right. A lot of people within podcasting have been using Ringer for the last little bit, and Stargate Pioneer is going to tell you all about it.
Yeah, Ringer introduces conference call. Since the very first Ringer beta went live, one feature has been asked for more than any other: conference calling. So for those that don't know, Ringer is this neat app that you can go individual to individual and record both sides, and you can download the information later. And it's a paid service too. So it was only two people, and now they've gone conference. So from broadcasting brands to basement podcasters to Fortune 500 companies, everybody seems to want the ability to connect and record with more than two people. That's duh. That's French for two, by the way. There you go. Two people. Now you can. Introducing Ringer Conference Calling. Connect and record crystal clear audio with up to five total participants on desktop and mobile. With 2 years of development and two U.S. patents under our belt. And once again, in French, that's duh for D-E-U-X, duh. Okay. We couldn't be more excited for you to try it out. And if you're a Ringer premium member, by the way, we didn't say how to spell Ringer. You have to know how to spell Ringer. It's R-I-N-G-R. There's no E at the end of a Ringer. Okay. And if you're a Ringer premium member, it's available right now. Just download the latest version of Ringer Mobile or open your Ringer account. If you're not a Ringer Premium member yet, why don't you give us a test drive with our 30-day free trial? There's nothing to lose, except maybe your recording.
Yeah. Okay, so Ringer, I gotta say, not a lot of personal experience with this, but I have heard quite a few people who have been using that, and I think that this is great. The only thing that I question is can they support the multiple people? But you know what? Kudos to them. I hope that they can. And if this is a feature that they needed to add, I'm glad that they did it now. It is something that there's many of these services that seem to be coming out, and they got to get ahead of it. So good on them for introducing this feature. And I will say that there is lots of examples that I can think of that Ringer was only two participants wouldn't work for me. So that's fantastic to see that they did that. So kudos, Ringer, with no E.
I do think this is good. By the way, I was joking halfway about losing your recording because I'm a big proponent in having a backup. And with Ringer, you're not really having a backup. But the good thing about Ringer is, say you're calling on a phone in an airport or something like that, and you want to get an interview done. So you go to the business center and you, oh man, I forgot my recorder at home. You know, at least it's something like that. Would I rely on it 100%? No, because I've lost too many recordings in my life to do that. But I know a lot of people do. There's this, there's Ringer, there's Zencastr, there's TriCast. And we talked about that last time around about Cast problems that they've had. But there's a lot of apps that are doing this today. These apps did not exist in the robustness when I started podcasting. And I just love the fact that they're continuing to develop these and they're making these new technologies possible. If you're new podcasters today, I would encourage you to embrace this sort of stuff, but try to have a backup before you determine if it's reliable or not.
For sure. Another thing that we want to quickly talk about in our download is Discord. That's right. Discord is a service that Stargate Pioneer is spending all his time on hanging out with the young gamers. That's what he's doing over there.
Yeah, so Discord is a great little chat program. It reminds me of like AOL chat rooms back in the day or even before that. I mean, there's countless examples of actual chat rooms way back in the day. And we don't really use them anymore because we have fast-moving social media like Twitter, like Facebook and different places. Well, I kind of like to go back to the Discord. The part that I wanted to talk about specifically about Discord is the fact that they added video. And in case you didn't know, last week, Steven and I ventured into the video realm to try Discord out from the podcasting standpoint. I got to say, I was both happy and sad about it. I was actually impressed with what we went through. I can't say about what it's going to be in 6-9 months from now as more and more people do it and there's more and more load on the servers and information back and forth. It was pretty good. Not perfect, but it was pretty good, Steven.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with what I saw. I will say that I don't particularly like, for my purposes, the right bar. When you use the Discord video service, they have their little video previews. If you've ever used any video technology, whether it's Skype or it's Hangouts, there's always a preview of the participants. And it is on the right. So I'm not using it this week because I'm not convinced that I can't make that disappear. But the thing is, it made it really hard for this show, for the video side of things, because SP was like really like cropped and he was quite a bit larger than me, and you know, I don't like when he takes up more of the screen, so that's the reason why. But no, I just actually didn't think that aesthetically it looked very nice for that, so I'm not using it this week. Haven't had time to experiment, but as a reliability perspective, pretty good. And I would say that if you are looking from an audio, just audio only perspective as well, I would encourage you to try it. If you have a way to record separately, like through a hardware recorder on both sides, I would encourage you to try it because it's pretty reliable. I from what our test was last week.
I haven't seen a service like Discord video since Blab that I would want to throw in on. Now, again, I'm not sure about the longevity here with Discord, but if you're a geek, if you're in the techie stuff, this is something that might merit your attention. And because Discord is doing it, I will be interested to see if other collaboration apps like Slack bring in video calling in the future too. So just keep your eyes peeled on this. It might be something for the future. In case you haven't delved into the realm of video capture software, there's OBS Studio, there's XSplit, there's a bunch of other programs out there that you can use. I would start with OBS Studio just because it's free and you get your toe wet on it, but it is limited. And I do have XSplit as well, and it's a little bit more complicated, but I do prefer to use XSplit once I figure out what I'm actually doing on the software over OBS. It's better quality in the recording. And I know this from screen captures, from tutorials that I've been doing for different people. And it just seems like a better, brighter recording.
I will also say with Discord, what was really interesting for me, because I wanted to compare, I'll compare it to Hangouts on Air, because Hangouts on Air is another very similar video platform. What I thought was interesting was that it was much less choppy than Hangouts on Air. Hangouts on Air, if you've ever watched one, it is not smooth. The video is not smooth. It is kind of jittery. And I was very impressed with what I saw. So I hope that, like SP said, it continues and that the quality is there. But you don't know. It's a new service. For all we know, in 3 weeks from now, it will just be terrible. Or they'll go, sorry, whoa, can't afford the bandwidth.
Yeah, the bandwidth is always the key. And Discord, I don't know what they're doing to monetize the platform right now. I don't know what they're doing to monetize Slack. I don't know what they're doing to monetize these collaboration apps. So just stay tuned on what's going on in these. This could be a short-lived fad in the video foray until we find out if it can be monetized or not.
And finally, before we get off of this topic, I will just give you another interesting reason that you might want to come on by Geeks.live when we record these. In the chat, we have somebody named Jorge who has sent us a link and said that Slack actually already did a bit of video. So we'll look into that. And I just thought I would share that because that's really interesting information. Plus, now you can't send your wrong SP email. I just preempted that.
I appreciate that. I get way too many of those as it is.
I am interested, but that could be the wave of the future, is these collaboration apps getting into video. So that's cool. And in any case, we tried Discord and now maybe we got to Slack off and try Slack. So let's go and move on to answer an interesting question that we've been seeing more and more of. To subscribe or not to subscribe? That is the question. The question is ultimate.
It is indeed. And if you're talking about subscribing to Better Podcasting, hit subscribe right now.
We have often been asked, and we've been seeing more of this lately coming up, is whether or not people should be paying for podcast advice. And we see people mention companies by name. I'm not going to do that now, but often question whether or not they should be spending hundreds of dollars on podcasting advice. Now, I think that for someone who is doing a business, there is definitely merit in there, because as a hobbyist, I might be willing to spend time trying things and failing at things and, you know, maybe starting a project and realizing, okay, that was a disaster. Let me close that down and start that again. But as a business, if I am starting a podcast for business, I might be looking for some of the better advice right from the start and filter it down. So I will say that from my perspective, I think that there is definitely merit to paying for podcast advice if it's the right service. And I will say, though, that I do lean more towards paying for a smaller person versus a large company that has been around for, you know, since the beginning of time and charges thousands of dollars because they're a big company. I think there's a lot of value with, if you're paying for podcast advice, paying for somebody that you can call by name, that, you know, I'm going to be talking to Bob and I'm going to talk to Bob every Tuesday and Bob's going to help me craft my podcast. I think that to me has more merit than going and just paying for somebody who is notable and has a large amount of history because they've been around for so long. I want that personal relationship because things are always changing. And unfortunately, as you have more people involved and you have sort of less time to spend on this advice giving, then what ends up happening is it's harder to maintain, not only you put your finger on the pulse of the podcast industry, but update your material. So sometimes there could be a bit of outdated advice that comes from that. So I'm all about really the personal interaction. And if I was paying for advice, that would be what I would be looking for. With that said, as a hobbyist, I don't really think that you need to. That's my opinion. I think that overall, there's a lot of really good advice if you're patient. You know, you go out and you say, I want to play soccer for fun. That's what I want to do. I'm going to go play soccer for fun. I don't go and I play a former pro star to teach me how to be good at soccer generally. I go out in the field and I'm like, I'm going to figure this out myself and have a little bit of fun. As I go on, I might pay somebody for something if I really want to advance and take it to the next level. But as just like in the beer league or whatever, I'm probably not paying for somebody to do that. generally speaking. SP, what's your thoughts?
This kind of gets to the heart. It doesn't kind of. This gets to the heart of Better Podcasting. We created this show because we believed that there was enough information to give people that are just starting podcasting, or maybe they've been podcasting for a while, but they want to take that next step into making their podcast better. And we wanted to make it better for them without monetizing the entire space, because we love podcasting. We know other people love podcasting as well. And we wanted to give that great advice to different people on how to do it. You have to be patient. You're not going to learn everything all at once. If you need to know everything at once, places like Better Podcasting will be great long-term for you, but it's not going to get you off the ground right away. But if you're three guys in a basement doing your podcast, three bros with beers, with beards. I can do better here. Three bros with beards drinking beers. And okay. That's the name of your podcast. That is probably not going to be worth paying thousands of dollars for podcast advice. Now, here's where it gets interesting. If those three bros with beards drinking beers actually have a good topic, like trying to inspire people or trying to prevent suicide, and that's their main focus of their show, and they're actually people that are experts in that area and are really passionate, have been really affected by that topic area, and they really want to get that answer out there, they need to deal with branding. Three bros with beards drinking beers is not good branding for those topics. So they need to rebrand, and they need to really hone their topic in. I mean, this is important stuff that I would want to get out to different people. Like Scott Smith, one of our listeners, he does a podcast, Recovering from a Religion. There are people that have been deeply affected by cultish sort of religions out there that Recovering from a Religion can help. So I would want to help somebody doing a podcast like that is helping people. And maybe they need a podcast consultant to come in and say, look, you're doing it completely wrong. You need to do this right. But they have to be willing to pay for it. So that's a love-hate relationship I have right there. Now, as far as paying somebody to help you do that, that would be one of the reasons I would do it. I mean, if I was learning how to play soccer, I would want to get the advice of Hope Solo in order to do that. By the way, Hope Solo, United States of America, female soccer star.
Okay. So I will say that I think what is interesting is you need to look at it from another hobby perspective, because like I said, I'm probably not going out and paying the soccer pro if I'm going to play this for fun. However, there was a catch to what I was going to say. I might go and pay somebody to show me the basics and give me an introduction. How often do we go out and we take an introductory course to something that we're interested in? You see this all the time. You see this everywhere. You see this if you're into crafting. You go to the local craft store and you pay for an introductory course. That sort of thing, I might. So you got to look at your podcasting the same. Would I, in another situation, have a certain amount of budget that I would pay to get kicked off? And that might be what I pay for, but I'm not going and paying Mike Holmes to come tell me how to build something. That's not happening, because that's not the level I'm going to, because I'm a hobbyist. But SP, by the way, for your audio listeners questioning who Mike Holmes is, but I'm not going to do that. But I might go and pay a local carpenter to give me a little bit of a head start. So you got to be realistic. And so if you are looking to pay for advice as a hobbyist, there's a reason for that. You might want to set your level at a standard that you can afford as a hobbyist. So there are definitely reasons that you would pay, but I don't think that as a hobbyist, you need to go and pay for the top package that somebody who is in the business of selling podcast advice is probably going to. However, I might look again at some of those smaller levels, the lower tiers, the ones that you know you're going to build that relationship, equivalent of a local carpenter or at a local craft store, that sort of advice. That's what I would be looking at if I was willing to pay, but you don't have to pay either.
Yeah, I elected not to pay for podcasting because I just do this for fun. But if I really wanted to make this a second career if I wanted to make money at it, if I want to devote all my attention to it and get as big as I can, maybe create a business out of it, I would want to know a lot more than I do today, especially on the business side of things. And I just don't. I'll admit it. I don't. We've never done advertising, Stephen. How would I go out and get advertising? I can recommend things to people, but I can't say from personal experience, this is what I would do. So there are, again, pluses and minuses to different things. But if you're just trying to get over that hump of 50 downloads to 500 downloads or 2,000 downloads, Better Podcasting and shows and spaces like it is where you can get all your information from.
Awesome. So hopefully that helps answer that question. That's a long overdue one to talk about. Let's go ahead and get into some more questions and interactions in the Better Pod Back. We got a tweet from the one and only Emily Pro Cop.
Golden Isle, we are 40.
Psst, Steven, you're using your Audio-Technica BP-40.
Maybe she'll make a bump for that. But anyways, Emily, that is Emily there. She said, finally listening to @SunPowerPod on @BetterPod, getting excited for International Podcasting Day 2018. And of course, that was the bonus episode that we did drop in the feed last time, a couple weeks ago, sort of thing ish.
Yeah, Heather Welsh was on that Better Podcasting Day special. It was a bonus episode on Better Podcasting. Really enjoyed having her on. Oh, by the way, she tweeted us and she said, love joining you guys and listening back to it. Thanks again so much.
Thank you, Heather, for coming on. We had a ton of fun.
We did indeed. And Steven, is there a podcast that you know of that starts with F?
Can't think of. Oh, the Firing Steven podcast. That's the one right there.
Firing Steven podcast. Mm-hmm. How about the Following TV podcast or the Forgotten TV found at Forgotten TV show.
That was another tweet that we got that was in relation to me dropping the ball on the letter F in that International Podcast Day special that we did. We also got a tweet from Cybercast @Cybercast, and they said, have you tried Ringer yet instead of Skype? Never heard of Ringer. Never heard of Ringer before, ever.
What is this Ringer that you speak of, and why does it not have an E?
Long story short, yes, we did talk about Ringer, obviously, this episode, but we haven't had a chance to really try it because it doesn't have the video companion.
By the way, we have tried another service outside of Discord, which we'll talk about sometime in the future, and it's not Ringer.
It's not Ringer, no. We also had Johnny Pennington send us an email. If you weren't familiar with this, some of us on Better Podcasting are pretty popular, and so we make appearances elsewhere from time to time. So I'll let SP read this email out.
Steven, I know how you like working with co-hosts with beards, but it being mid-October, I thought you'd wait it out for SP to start sprouting his whiskers again. So you can imagine my surprise when I caught you being a guest co-host Saturday, October 14th, 2017 on Dave Jackson's The Podcast Coach live stream. By the way, it's Ask the Podcast Coach live stream, which is found at the podcast, askthepodcastcoach.com at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays. It was very obvious that you and Dave Jackson were having a good time and had a great rapport together. But one thing I really noticed was that your voice was deeper and also raspier. A situation that could affect one's editing in trying to match up a voice in an episode previously worked on. One's voice is different early in the morning, and so it seems so was yours. Or was it the early morning, Mr. Jean-Drew? Could it have been too many Friday night libations? Now, I'm not judging. It's just that being fired from Better Podcasting this past summer could drive some people to overindulge. Your audience would understand. It must have been horrific, but get a hold of yourself, Mr. Jean-Drew. Just look at the upside. You now have a bearded, award-winning podcaster appreciating your podcasting talents. Maybe being fired was a good thing for you. I enjoyed The Podcast Coach. Once again, that's Ask the Podcast Coach with Dave Jackson, starring Stephen John Drew, very much. Thanks, Johnny Pennington. P.S. When is allergy season over so SP can grow back his furry face?
Johnny, thanks for checking that out. And the reason that my voice was deeper is I've been smoking lately a lot. I just decided that, you know, I working with Stargate Pioneer is a stressful situation. So I took up smoking just for that. And I just no other explanation. No, it was probably a couple reasons. Just to get all technical. Number one, it was probably yes, because it was first thing in the morning. It is 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, as Stargate Pioneer mentioned. That is when it is. And as you know, I am in the Pacific time, which means that it was 7:30 in the morning. I had rolled out of bed like, I don't know, 35 minutes before it or something. So that's probably number one. The vocal cords hadn't been going all day. Sometimes I like to just spend all day talking to myself, and that hadn't happened yet. The second thing that probably was because I was going through Hangouts on air, so it's different. Usually when you hear me on this show, it is all sent out from my side, unless you listen to the Spreaker stream. It was all sent out from my side, so there's no compression, there's no manipulation being done by Skype or Hangouts on air or anything like that, so you're getting a more full sound from me because it is on my side, mostly because I'm selfish, so that's the reason why, and you probably changed a little bit going out through Hangouts on air.
It's not only because Steven is selfish, it's because SP is lazy.
So thanks to everybody who checked that out. I had quite a few people who did mention that they saw that on there. And thanks to Dave Jackson for inviting me on. That was a ton of fun. And if you didn't check it out, make sure you check out Ask the Podcast Coach, because I was on there and I tried to represent the hobbyist. And I think I did an okay job, but maybe not.
I think you did okay. I think that we need to talk about a couple of your answers, though. We'll have to run that down later in private.
Fair enough. Oh,
say, over on YouTube, if you go to youtube.com/GunnaGeek, where all our YouTube companions are for Better Podcasting, way back on episode 17, the episode entitled Video Podcasting, Choosing Your Path, we received a comment from Evil Zombie, said, "Wow, I can see your faces. I've been listening to all of them so far on a binge using Podcast Addict. You guys have given such great advice. I've added a podcast and a video podcast to supplement my YouTube now, and things are going smoothly. Like my face, no beard, no furry. Thanks for being awesome." And then once again, that's from Evil Zombie. I did check out Evil Zombie YouTube channel, by the way. He's a streaming gamer over there, and he has, at least at the time of this recording, 3 episodes up about how he streams, how he uses his gear, and that is combined with his other stuff. It's all intertwined in the one feed there. And he apparently has a podcast, which I didn't have time to go search, but I think it's the podcast that is on the 3 episodes there. So that's very interesting. I know that Bandrew Says and the podcasting channel started a podcast, which is separate from his YouTube channel as well. I think it's a great companion, by the way. If you have a YouTube channel that is educational, or maybe you're doing some streaming and then you want to talk like the technical side of things or behind the scenes things or whatever, a podcast is a great companion. It's just like a business in that perspective. Just a great companion. It's not going to be your moneymaker, but it's a great for advertisement, for SEO, and then to get to know your audience better, or for your audience to get to know you better. It's just great. And I think it's a great thing. And Evil Zombie, I think it's awesome that you started a podcast.
For sure. We also asked a question on Twitter. Have you ever paid for podcast advice? If so, what was your experience? If the answer is no, would you? We had Josh Lishton respond, and he said, "I haven't. And to be honest, the only people I would consider paying aren't into one-on-one consulting and coaching."
Somebody from the Better Podcasting Twitter account responded and said, "You'd be surprised who would give you private consulting if you asked them." And I think the individual that wrote that meant to say, if you would be surprised who would give you private consulting or mentoring if you ask them, because if you're not really paying for it, it's more mentoring than consulting, but that is valuable too. And if you don't have a podcast mentor, You should ask some people if they're willing to be your mentor, because that's awesome.
Let's just drop the curtain right now, by the way. That was SP that tweeted that, and he was talking about me. So, Josh, you can absolutely ask me. And, you know, I know that that's who you're wanting. So, there you go.
Well, that's true. And the whole point there is to have a podcast mentor or running buddy. You know, Steven and I obviously do Better Podcasting, but we do other shows too. So, it's great to bounce ideas back and forth off each other. Matter of fact, after the GunnaGeek.com show last night, Chris, Steven, and I were talking about podcasting and improving stuff and everything. It's just good to have that. And yes, we are co-hosts on GunnaGeek.com, but we all have other shows. So it was valuable conversation.
For sure. We also had Super Geeky Playdate. They are a member of the GunnaGeek Network, and you can find them at Geeky Playdate. It is now, I'd rather create a good support network of other podcasts / friends to lean on. Ah, that's very interesting. And I got to say, I very much think that that's a great philosophy, since I did create the Gunna Geek Network. And that's what a lot of us do over there, is really support each other. So I like that philosophy.
It's a philosophy to lean on me, right?
Yes, it is a philosophy.
Yes, SP cannot speak ever. Heather Welsh, by the way, responded, and she said, technically, yes, I'm a paid member of at I am Carrie Green FEA, and they did a podcast bundle. It was worth the money because I took action, and the ongoing support is great. So that's great, Heather. I appreciate it. And Heather, of course, is a new podcaster, so that's some recent advice from Heather Welsh.
Absolutely. So that is going to go and take us towards the end of the show. If you got a question for us, please always do get in touch with us through any of the methods. You can find us, again, at BetterPod on Twitter. You can find us at facebook.com/BetterPodcasting or email podcast@BetterPodcasting.com. And if you want, you can come on by usually Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Geeks.live. But this week and next week, it's a little bit different, but generally you can find us there. Just head on over the calendar at geek.live if you want, and we always keep that up to date when we're recording, but usually it is Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, and that includes all of the people who came on by today. Thank you to everyone who came on by, including Scott Smith, Jorge, Emily, Stargate Pioneer, Heather, and Bandrew. Stargate Pioneer is just a guest in the chat.
Dang that guy.
By the way, on the topic of charging for advice, we did have Scott Smith in the chat tell us that he is thinking about charging people to suggest what podcasting school they should try. So he's not even committing to one. He's just saying which one you should try.
Scott, welcome to my life.
Awesome. So for episode 102 of Better Podcasting, I'm Stephen John Drew saying, come on by geeks.live. Hashtag first.
And I'm SP saying, I can see and envision my kids walking down their wedding aisle right now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.